I've had four people call to ask me, what in the world is the message about today? I go by and I see the marquee out front. I sometimes wonder if they even bother looking at it. So I decided to find out if they would look at it. So I put the title for the sermon out there, or had the title put out there, thanks to the angel who puts it out there. And the title is, of course, Stupid Children. And I had somebody ask, where did that come from? And I said, the scripture. And I trusted that the scripture would reflect that. Unfortunately, the NIV doesn't quite use that phraseology. Here's what the New Revised Standard says. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. Wow. That speaks volumes to us today in the church. That speaks volumes to us today in this society in which we live, in this world in which we live, in this nation in which we live, in which it does indeed seem as though people are stupid. Thank you. And I am myself, I'm going to use an awful word, English teachers, please forgive me, I'm the stupidest of them. We do some dumb things in this life. We make some really stupid decisions, don't we? We go astray like a dumb lamb, not knowing the way we're supposed to go. We think we know what we're supposed to be doing. We think we know what's right for us. We hope we know what's right for us, and we go do it, and we end up in a ditch. We don't know the right way to go by our own ability, by our own eyes, by our own mind, by our own heart. And so we go astray. And when we do those stupid things, when we do those dumb things, we only have ourselves to blame. This past week I heard somebody complaining about talking about poor choices that people make, and how all the problems in the world are the results of poor choices. Well, that's right, but there is another word, a three-letter word for those poor choices, and it's called sin. That's a word we don't hear of much these days in this world, isn't it? Sin. And yet that's what it is. When we make those poor choices, when we do stupid things, when the people of God, the children of God, the family of God did stupid things, they were stupid children. I just love that translation. Ignorant doesn't quite get there. Stupid. I know that describes me when I was a kid. Hush, Mom. They are skilled in doing evil, it says. We're good at it. We're not just amateurs at evil. We're not just practicers. I mean, you know, does it ever bother you that doctors call what they do practice? Well, we're not practicing, friends. We're good at it. We're sinners and we're good at it. No practice needed. We're skilled at doing evil. We're skilled at sinning. We're skilled at being stupid. We get lost and cannot find ourselves again. That's the situation that we find ourselves in. That is the situation of this world. Indeed, sad to say, that is the situation even of members of the body of Christ. For you see, none of us are perfect yet. We may be called to move on towards perfection. We may be called to receive the sanctifying presence of God's love, which will transform us if we are willing to cooperate with His grace. He will change us. He will transform us. But I don't see any perfect people here, including me. And we all go astray. That's what we're going to look at today. Stupid children going astray. In other words, we're going to look at us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, move among us this day. so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you know that once or twice a year, I wish it were more often, Dad, my father and I go out and go fishing. We go up to Oklahoma to some area up there that we love on the Mountain Fork River and we go fishing. Well, as a child, I can remember going out a few times, I wish it could have been more, to visit my grandfather, my dad's dad, who I always thought of as the great fisherman of the family. And we'd go out fishing, and we'd get in his canoe, and we'd go paddling out into some river somewhere, and he'd be fishing away with his fly rod, just a fishing away, and I'd be in the back, and he'd always be yelling at me, "Stupid boy, you're getting too close to the shore! Out of way! You're getting me in the trees! Out of way! Get me out of way! Get me out of way! You're turning me into the shore! You're turning me out into the river! Keep me parallel!" He would yell. And then as he would fish, he'd give me directions, my granddad would. Now when you fish, you're not supposed to fish the backside of the boat. And your forecast, and when you pull back, don't fish the other side of the canoe. Did granddad ever say that to you, Dad? And then he'd do it, and he'd cast, and then he'd fish back, and he'd be fishing the other side of the boat. And stupid old kid of me, 12 years old, I go, "Granddad, you're fishing the other side of the boat." Wrong thing to say to my granddad. Or we'd get stuck. It would be my fault, of course. He'd get his line stuck in a tree. And so he'd say, "Get me over there." So we'd paddle over. And we're in a canoe. He'd stand up and try to get it out of the tree. And get out of the tree. Of course, he'd lose his fly. He'd sit down. He'd open his tackle box. He'd pull out a fly because he didn't like the ones on his hat. And he'd be choosing one. And he'd drop it into the water and lean over to try to get it out of the water and lose five or six more into the water. Going after one, he'd lost. And, of course, I was at fault. Yeah, I love my granddad. I really do. I learned a lot from him. I learned that when you're fishing, do not park your canoe under an overhanging ledge where birds like to sit. Unless you're wearing a really good hat. I learned when you're casting, don't assume, with a fly rod, don't assume that a little bitty brim hasn't hit your fly. Because when you pull back, there may be one on the end, and you may clobber the side of your canoe with the fish. And then Granddad will always yell, "You're scaring the fish away." I also learned from him that when you stand, and this is a story, when you stand up, be very careful, because you can easily turn the boat over. And we did that more than once. When Granddad and I would be out fishing. Learned a lot from him. I also learned some language that I probably ought not share. In fact, I won't share. I loved him. We got tall stories about my granddad in our family. Most of them are partially true, right, Dan? Most of them are partially true. But the real story is that he was not the fisherman. My grandmother was. They went out on a float trip once. My granddad, I guess it was Dad or was it your brother? They went out on a float trip and they told my grandmother to fill it. She says, "What should I do?" She says, "Well, fill up those two coolers with trot line bait." She says, "Okay." And that's exactly what she did, sitting by the bank with the pole fishing. She could charm a fish onto any hook. She made him look like an amateur. He was still practicing. She was an expert at fishing. Anyway, I just told that story to be enlightened, air with Grandparents Day and to say that, yes, even I'm stupid, especially me. And to say that sometimes when we care about something, we will run the risk of losing it all to try to get that one thing back. That's the story today from the gospel reading. That's the story about the good shepherd who goes out leaving his 99 sheep to find a lone, wayward lamb that has gone astray. It's a story that we often cast within the community of those who are not yet saved, to those who need to come into the church, those who need to become a member of the body of Christ. But in point of fact, it's about a member of the flock, a member of the fold, who's gone astray, who's run away. It's about one of us, my friends, who though we were in the flock, we've decided to wander off. And the shepherd, the good shepherd, will leave the 99 that are safe in the fold and will go out in search of the one who has gone astray, who's at the prey of the ravenous lions, who could easily be gobbled up in an instant. He'll leave the 99 and go in search of the one who was lost. And when he finds the one who was lost, he picks him up and puts him on his shoulders and carries him back home. And when they get home, they have a great, wonderful, glorious celebration, a great, wonderful party, celebrating the return of the one who was lost. The celebration is for the one who had been lost, who has now repented and been carried home by the shepherd. I don't celebrate a party for those who don't need to repent, for they're still in the fold. They celebrate for the one who has gone astray. And the simple question that the story today asks of us is, have we gone astray? Even though we've gotten lost and don't know how to do good, even though we are stupid children at times and are skilled at doing evil, even though we've gotten lost, the Good Shepherd doesn't write us off. Consider us lost and lion food. No, he leaves the flock and goes out to seek us who are lost. And when he finds us, imagine that. We can't get back on our own. We can't find our way back. And even if we could see the direction we're supposed to go, we by our own power can't do it. And so he picks us up and puts us on his shoulders and carries us home. Are you a lost sheep today? Have you been a lamb who's gone astray? If you have, the Good Shepherd is coming after you. He's coming after you to find you and to pick you up and to put you on his shoulders and carry you back home. Are you lost? Have you been a stupid child of God? There are times when I know I have been. Ooh, I have been. And as much as my granddad would shout at me for rocking the boat or hitting the side of the boat or fishing the other side of the boat, so also I know my Heavenly Father probably wants to just yell at me, "Are you stupid?" The answer is yes. But instead of yelling at me, he sends his son for me to gather me in and carry me home to that mansion over the hilltop in that bright land, my friends, that each of us has to look forward to. Are you a lost sheep? Are you a lamb who has gone astray? Well, my friends, the Good Shepherd Jesus is looking for you. And like most stupid children, we're probably playing hide and seek, trying to hide out. I can remember one of those summers staying at my granddad's house. Instead of going fishing, we were going to be doing work around the house. That usually meant yard work around the house. And so I didn't want to do that, and so I can remember one summer, one day, hiding from my granddad. And he came out there, and all he had to say was, "Boy, show yourself. We got work to do." And that voice drew me out. Well, guess what? Jesus is calling your name, not just boy or girl, but your name, looking for you. And if you've gone astray, now's the time to hear his voice and answer the call. Don't wait. Don't play hide and seek. There's a lion out there trying to find and eat you. His name is Satan. Don't give him a chance. Instead, hear the call of your master's voice. Hear the call of your shepherd's voice. He's gone out to find you. Answer it and let him pick you up and let him place you on his shoulders and let him carry you home to safety and rejoicing and a party. And give praise and thanksgiving and glory to God for the provision we have, for the gift we have, the grace we have in Jesus Christ, who makes it possible for each and every one of us to come home into the fold again and rest in his comfortable arms. Seek the shepherd's arms today, my friends. Don't be a stupid child, practiced and expert in doing evil. Instead, hear the call of your shepherd and let him pick you up and bring you home. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.